There was a very good introduction by Takuya, so I can assume. I can start from the middle, but let me just nevertheless start from intermediate stage. So the main target is to compute this hemisphere to partition function. And because there's a boundary, we need to put boundary condition. And this is called D-brain. And I would like to do this computation. First of all, formulate the theory so that there's some supersymmetry left, so that we can use this Suzy localization. There are two possibilities if you want to consider some extended supersymmetry. We can either put A brains here or B brains. And if you consider extending the supersymmetry that's there all over the hemisphere, then the natural supersymmetry is called the B, is so-called the B-type supercharges, B-type supersymmetry, and A-type supersymmetry. This A-type supersymmetry is the one which was studied by Jaume and another group by Francesco Bernini and his collaborator. And in particular, at the tip, the supersymmetry is such that this is like a topologically twisted A model or B model. The supercharges for this topological A model or B model, that as Takuya said. Right. And so the natural question is, what is this hemisphere partition function is computing? And what we found is what we found after computation is that it is the central charge. So this is like a, this is equal to the central charge Z of the brain. So that's the main claim of this, main result of this paper, of this work. But the interesting part is not just this result, but we can learn many things from this result, from this expression. And there's another thing, which is also mentioned by Takuya's talk. This is also the relation of the next thing to this is known by mathematicians, and this is also the same thing as so-called the J function, which is something like topological string amplitude, actually 3-point amplitude. You put puncture, and something special related to something related to brain, and this is 1 plus R psi, where psi is so-called the psi class, where R is the size of the radius of the hemisphere. So the circumference is 2 pi R. And so this is related to what's called J function by Givento. And if you look at this original paper by Givento, I learned this from Iritani. If you look at this original paper by Givento, it looks like he is trying to consider such things, hemisphere partition function, and arrive at this kind of things. And this is, so this is called psi class, but for some people who are who worked on 2D gravity, this is not, this is something new of which is familiar to those people. This is so-called the loop operator, macroscopic loop operator. This is by, I forgot. Yeah, at least there's a paper by Moore, Seiberg, Staudach here, and also Dyker, Verlinde, Verlinde actually mentioned this. And this is like creating a macroscopic loop of size R. So this is precisely like this picture. But I don't know yet why this happens. I know this, I found this, at least at this moment, just at the level of the answer. But I think there's an interesting story which is to be revealed. So this equivalence is also something very interesting to understand from the first principles. Okay, so this is the main proposal or main result. But as I said, the interesting part, interesting story is in the detail. And my today, the target of my talk will be, I didn't say, sorry, this is called, I formulate this. This is for 2D 2.2. Supersymmetric field theory. And A or B is some one half of this supersymmetry. And today I want to focus on this part and also for a special class of theories called gauged linear sigma model. Just as in Takuya's talk. And let me just first tell you the data for the theory. So this is already in Takuya's talk, but the notation may be slightly different. So first of all, the theory itself, this theory itself is specified by the choice of the gauge group, matter representation, it was V mat in Takuya's talk, and the superpotential. And there is, I assume, some R symmetry group action. So this, of course, this is a representation of G. So there's a G action, but there's also a R symmetry group action. It's R symmetry. And superpotential must have R charge 2. The standard convention. I take the standard convention. And right. So I denote the R symmetry action. So I denote the field by phi and G action and the lambda is the U1 element. Phi is, I just write it like this. So just write G action on phi is just this and R symmetry group is like R is like an eigenvalue for this R charge. Or R is like an R charge. And the superpotential has R charge 2, meaning this is this, of course, and the gauge invariant is, of course, this. Gauge invariance is this. And I assume some charge integrality. This is equivalent to the requirement that this is A-twistable. By the way, this claim, this equality is only when there's this A-twist here, and there's a B-twist here. Otherwise, the right-hand side, there's no definition on the right-hand side. I'm sorry, maybe I should say what
is the reference
angle? Yeah. Yeah. This is the definition. Drawing here. And here you do either for the upper case B twist, lowercase a twist. That's the definition. Right. So this charge integrality is given by this requirement that e to the pi I r, maybe there is some element of the gauge group such that e to the pi I r is equal to j on b. Okay, so this is for general compact Lie group, including the finite group. But if g has a center and j belongs to the connected component of the center, then actually there's an ambiguity in this R charge assignment. You can shift by the Lie algebra of the center. So R to R plus. This doesn't change this condition. And actually you can eliminate. So if this J can be written like e to the pi I delta, then e to the 2 pi R should be after modification, e to the, say, call it R prime, then 2 pi R prime is 1. So this is not always the case when this J belongs to the center of the connected component of the center of the group. Then this is after this modification, we have this. So that means that R charge is even integer. But that's not always the case because it may be a finite group and it may be J may not be in the center, in the connected component of the center of the group. Okay, but this is some technical detail. So this is the data for the bulk theory and the data for the brain is the following. Brain data. So I focus out my attention to the B brains. And general B brain can be written as gauge invariant, homogeneous matrix factorization. Of the superpotential. So this is m q rho r. So m is a representation of the gauge group and the U1R symmetry group. Actually, maybe I said U1, but maybe I may take a universal cover because this may be fractional representation. So there's an action. And I write this action like, so G lambda to rho of G and E to the, and lambda to the R star. So this R star. There are many R, so I want to distinguish. This is one R, but this is another R, and this is totally, they are totally different. Okay, and Q is the matrix factorization, so Q phi squares to say W of phi identity of M. And the gauge invariance means that Q is itself, Q is invariant under G action, but up to with this conjugation by rho matrix. And similarly, Q has homogeneous meaning in here, meaning R charge 1. Because Q squares to W and W has R charge 2, so the natural choice is R charge 1. But again, up to this conjugation by this this R symmetry action on the on this space. So this is this in physics language, this is the Champaton space. So this is rho is the gauge group action on Champaton space, and this R star is like a R charge of the Champaton vector. And again, this charge integrality is, there's a non-trivial condition. The charge integrality is e to the pi I r star times rho of j is, oh yes, sorry, I forgot to say. This is Champaton, and this is Z2 gradient. Like a brain part and anti-brain part. And this is the one which is plus one on even part, brain part, minus one on the anti-brain part. So for example, when in this case, in such a special case where J can be set equal to one, then R star has even eigenvalues. And it is, sorry, R star has integral integers as eigen, has integral eigenvalues. And this is even integer for even part and odd integer for odd part. So this is like a Z grading, which reduces mod 2 to this original Z2 grading. So this is again the, this is the charge integrality requirement. Okay, now I can now state the result. Before saying this result, okay, maybe let's first state the result. I don't want to hide. There's no, is it movable? Oh, this is movable, okay, good. So the expression for this thing. So I put M, so B stands for the brain, M, Q, rho, R star. And so this is equal to some R lambda C hat over 2 gamma D L G sigma omega prime alpha positive sigma prime. So alpha runs over positive roots of the group. Sine hyperbolic pi alpha sigma prime, and I gamma I q I sigma prime plus I and e to the I t r sigma prime of an f brain factor. Yeah, maybe I should have said some additional things. First of all, yeah, gamma is a Lagrangian submanifold in the TC. Sorry, G is the Lie algebra of the gauge group, and I choose a maximal torus, and its Lie algebra is denoted by T t is just chosen one maximal torus. Right. And V, the matter representation, as a representation of T and U1 R star, R tilde. It is, because this is abelian, it decomposes into one-dimensional representations. This has charge Q for the gauge group. So this is like a gauge charge under the maximal torus. And this is the R charge for the U1 R symmetry. And M, again, it can be regarded as a representation of U1, maximal torus and R symmetry group. And it may be decomposed again into one-dimensional representations. And right. And so Qi, so this inside the gamma function, you have this gauge charge Qi and R charge Ri. And Fb is the, maybe let me just write it here. Fb is the following thing. Fb sigma prime is trace of over M of e to the pi I R star rho of e to the 2 pi sigma prime. But with respect to this decomposition, it can be written as a sum over J, over this J, and this is e to the pi I R J and e to the 2 pi Q J sigma prime. And I have to explain many things. First of all, what sigma prime? Sigma prime comes from R times sigma. So this has dimension of mass, and this is dimension of length. R is the radius of the hemisphere. And this comes from the, this is the lowest component. Of the vector movement. So for the gauge group T or G or T. And so this takes values in the complexified Lie algebra of T. And T sub R of sigma is T of R, T of sigma, and then prime, minus sum over I, Qi sigma prime, log R lambda. Maybe I should have started from lambda. Lambda is some renormalization scale. And C hat is 1 minus Ri minus dimension of the group. So there are many things. Dg is the real dimension of the group. And Lg is the dimension of the torus. So it's the rank of the group. Right. So this is the dimension. And what else? Sorry, maybe I should go back. Right, FB is the spreading factor which is written. Right. So first of all, what is this? So this is actually related to the choice of the boundary condition. This corresponds to the choice of the boundary condition. On the vector of that field. So this is very important because a priori there's no rule for which choice has to be made. There's a rule because we are considering B-type brains. So B brains for chiral multiplet, B brains is like Neumann boundary condition or boundary condition for brain wrapped on holomorphic submanifolds. But sigma is, sorry, maybe, this is not a very good, sorry, this is, of maybe I should, the twisted chiral superfield obtained from the vector multiplet. So this is like a superfield strength, and this is twisted. So this is a twisted chiral superfield. And for B brain, twisted chiral superfield must obey Lagrangian submanifold condition, or more generally, co-isotropic submanifold. But in this case, it has to be Lagrangian. So the only condition that you have from this supersymmetry is that it has to be Lagrangian. Originally, it has to be Lagrangian. So sigma is GC valued. So this, there must be Lagrangian sum manifold in GC. But if you look into the supersymmetry of the boundary condition itself, L can be written like a G orbit, adjoint G orbit of some gamma, where gamma is a Lagrangian sum manifold in TC. So what is this choice? What is the right choice of gamma? Is a very important question. And this expression gives us a hint. And this is to make it convergent. So that's the input. That's what you can learn from this expression. So the convergence is obvious, is far from obvious, and it generically. It is not convergent, and you have to choose gamma in such a way that this is convergent. So I will tell you about this in more detail later. Okay. So in Takuya's talk, I think you have chosen this gamma to be the real. In my language, real is sort of the simplest choice is the gamma is the I times this. This is so-called real. Well, there's an I, but in physicist notation, I times the Lie algebra is the real. Like, we prefer Hermitian matrices rather than anti-Hermitian matrices. So this is the anti-Hermitian. And this is therefore Hermitian. So So this is real. And for this choice, the boundary, this boundary condition is very simple, and the computation is also very simple, and you get this result. But actually, you can relax this boundary condition. And for the, then the direct computation may not be so simple, but actually you can use this result for the real, for general things, because for, from a general argument, the central, this hemisphere partition function is holomorphic. So this is holomorphic in twisted chiral parameter. And independent of chiral parameter, sorry, chiral parameters. So what do I mean by chiral parameters? Parameters that enters into the detail of the superpotential and the metric factorization. So this is totally independent for deformation of the superpotential and the metric factorization. Of course, under this deformation, this condition should always be satisfied. But what's important is it is holomorphic in twisted chiral parameter. And if you have a holomorphic, some holomorphic function, f of z, and if its value is given on the real locus, then it extend to the complex plane is uniquely determined. So I use this property. So I found, I can find the integrand on the real locus by explicit computation, and that's what's written there. And then I can extend by holomorphic to the holomorphic to this. But there's also one subtle thing, which is this measure. So dlg sigma is the holomorphic measure. So d sigma 1 range d sigma lg for appropriate choice of coordinate. So this is required in order for this property to be satisfied. So this is actually a very non-trivial thing to non-trivial choice for this measure of this integration. Okay, so that's one important remark. And so I will tell you about this choice of the boundary condition. Learn from this, I will tell you about it later, but let me, before saying that, I want to make some remarks about this. And main part comes from this property of gamma functions. Properties of gamma functions. Gamma function. The first property is that it has poles on the negative real axis. Where n is 0, 1, 2. And the second property is so-called the Stirling's formula, asymptotic formula, 2 pi e to the minus z. For z in this part, avoiding this negative real axis. So this is so-called the Stirling's formula. Maybe there is one more R. Sorry, maybe I have a typo. Maybe is it correct? Okay. And the third is that this has this simple relationship with the trigonometric function. And the fourth remark is that actually this is used usually as a definition of the gamma function. At least I learned gamma function in this way first. When the real part of Z is positive. So each of these has some, you can extract interesting physical meaning from this, from each of these properties. Okay. So first of all, this pole, existence of this pole, is related to the existence of bosonic zero mode and the background where the argument of the gamma function takes this value. So this is physical point, but other than these trivial things, let me say that there are two things. There are several things you can say. So, from one and two, you can talk about this convergence and how to find this boundary condition, how to determine this gamma condition on gamma. So this is the convergence condition, and this is related to what I call grade restriction rule. So this is also a condition of this possible Champaton charge, small qj's. So I write grade restriction rule. So this is the main part of this talk. But before saying that, from this property one, this pole structure of this gamma function, you can say we can see this RG flow of the brain of the boundary condition. So this is related to the decoupling of so-called empty brain by tachyon condition, boundary tachyon condensation, open string tachyon condensation. And if you use the third property, this relation to the trigonometric function, then you can find this expression in geometric phase. So the starting point, this is the 2D gauge theory, but in some case, for some choice of, I didn't even say what T was. Sorry. So I say TR is something like this. And this T is a linear combination of FI parameter and theta angle. So this is FI parameter, and this is the theta angle. And for some value of FI parameter, the low energy theory is a nonlinear sigma model whose target space is some Kähler manifold. And so in such a case, this FI parameter is said to be in geometric phase. And in that case, because it flows to nonlinear sigma model, the brain flows also to brain in nonlinear sigma model. And you can use this, start from this expression to write this asymptotic expression in this geometric phase. And the result is the following, so brain B. So this is the hemisphere partition function. Can be written as some R factor. So this is like a dimension. Yeah, dimension of the target space. And right. Gamma class, so-called the gamma class, e to the b plus I omega. This is the B field, sorry, this is brain, and this is the B field. And then Chern character of the brain. This is the brain. Plus some exponential correction. So this is expansion in e to the I omega, essentially, omega over some cycles. So this is so-called the instanton factor. So this, if you want to write it, understand it from the nonlinear sigma model point of view, this should be regarded as Wall Street instanton factor. But the leading factor is this gamma class. So gamma class is a kind of square root of the A roof genus. So gamma star is so-called the A roof genus, or A roof class of X. And this is obtained by, say, X over 2 sine hyperbolic X over 2. So this, if you just insert the Chern roots into this expression, and then you get this A roof class. And so this is the consequence of this third property. And another consequence of this third property is this factorization, which is mentioned by Takuya. So another consequence is this sphere partition function computed by Jomi and people here and Sanjeli, and also Francesco Bernini and Bernini. This can be factorized into this hemisphere BI chi IJ BJ, where chi IJ is the inverse to this annulus amplitude BI BJ BI. So actually, the general expression for this is still missing, but the general expression for the case with the large volume geometric phase is known, because this is simply this Euler pairing. Actually, this is for the case. This makes sense as index when X is a spin manifold. Yeah, in this case, you know the expression, and you can actually show that this is indeed the case. But for this, we need some correction to this expression Jomi et al. Found. So this theta should be shifted by some 2 pi rho, this is half the sum of positive roots. up to this shift, this factorization formula holds. Sorry. Half the sum of positive roots. So this is just, this changes the sum over the top, this changes only the weight over the topological class of this gauge bundle on the two sphere. So it is a very subtle thing. And also it is just a matter of sign, because 2 times rho is always a weight. This is a weight, so this is just a sign. So this is just a sign correction to this sum over the different topological sectors. And the final remark about this, the consequence is coming from this number 4. This is this mirror symmetry expression. Mirror expression. This was also mentioned in paper on two-sphere partition function. So let me talk a little bit about this number 4. So if I use this formula, so this is valid only when this is the case. So if you can choose gamma to be the real locus in the sense I said, then this is okay. But as I will tell you later, gamma is not always allowed to be just real. But for some special representative of brain, this f of this thing, this makes sense. So this is, so for this special choice of this brain, the following makes sense. So this is brain here. So if I just insert this expression in this and rewrite things, then there's some constant times r to dv plus dg over 2. dv is the dimension of this matter representation v. And epsilon j. So I just expand this brain factor and also expand this sine hyperbolic. Sine hyperbolic z is e to the z plus e to the minus z. And there's a product, so I just expand. Then you have this. So this is like a sign for each positive root, plus or minus 1, and e to the pi I rj. And then integration, gamma times rdp. DLG sigma DV Y alpha times E to the minus I R epsilon QJ and sigma Y. Where W tilde epsilon QJ is the expression which appear in this mirror symmetry paper. Where T is T minus I times 2 pi qj. So this is the contribution from this Champaton charge and sum over positive roots. Right. So this is the mirror superpotential obtained in my paper with Kuhlmann. But there's some slight difference. First of all, actually, the shift by 2 pi times integral thing is actually very important. And in this paper, we didn't pay attention to that thing. And also, this part, it's not always integral things, but this is also necessary for this to be correct. And so this gives you a precise way how to, for a given brain, you have to sum over these possible choices of this sign and this with appropriate weight. So this is this tells you how to write down the central charge in terms of the mirror data. Epsilon alpha is plus or minus. So it's your sum of all possible choices of sign for this positive root. Okay, so this is the connection to the mirror symmetry because I have to say it because this is a workshop on mirror symmetry. Okay. Right. Now let me come back to this. The choice of gamma or the grade restriction rule. I use especially this thing. Yeah, if I use this Stirling's formula, this integrand, so I just focus on this integrand for a fixed, for some j, for a fixed, for one term in this sum over j. So integrand for qj, or maybe just q, behaves at large values of sigma, like the following. Some power factor, so this is power in sigma, and exponential factor, e to the minus I r double tilde, effective q sigma, and this double tilde effective q sigma is plus or minus pi I alpha sigma minus I q I sigma log q I sigma of minus I lambda minus 1 and minus t sigma plus 2 pi I q sigma. Right. So this is already there. This is the classical twisted superpotential. And this is the classical contribution from the Champaton charge, Q. And this is the usual sigma log sigma type one loop effect for this twisted superpotential. And this is something which may not be familiar, but this is coming from integrating out the W boson. Maybe I should have said. So this is how it looks. And this is equal to the effective twisted superpotential. So if I use the Stirling's formula, you get this. But it turns out that this is equal to the effective twisted superpotential. on the Coulomb branch. And that's what I said applies to this. So this is the classical part, and this is the one loop from the matter, and this is one loop from the vector. Right. Now what we want is that this, if you take this, then you need to take this, and you need to take the real part of this. Right. So we want this real part to not to behave badly at infinity in gamma. Right. So let me. Let me just erase that. So the proposal for gamma is that so this is gamma is a deformation of the real locus, but avoiding the poles coming from this gamma function. But the asymptotic direction should be in the direction where this real part goes to infinity. Right. Gamma is a deformation of I t inside tc such that avoid the poles qi sigma prime in ni plus ri over 2 for ni 0, 1, 2. So this is a hyperplane in TC. So there are many hyperplanes, and you have to avoid this hyperplanes when under this deformation. And most importantly, let's call this real part so AQ of sigma. So AQ of sigma goes to infinity for every asymptotic, for every infinity of gamma. For any Champaton charge Q of the brain. So this is the proposal. Okay. So from this you can learn, at least you can find, you can learn, or you can propose what is the right choice of boundary conditions. And let me show you some examples. How much do I?
Minus 2.
Okay. Okay, let me just.
No, you can go for like 5 minutes.
Okay. Okay, the first example. I can just mention the others by words. So the example, the U1 gauge theorem. So this is like example including the quintic, maybe just quintic, or just quintic. C1, so So P has charge minus 5, you want gauge charge minus 5, and X has, you want gauge charge 1. And the superpotential is P times F of X. So this is a quintic polynomial, degree 5 polynomial in X. The low energy theory, so this is E to the T space, and this is infinity, there's a 0, and there's a 5, minus 5 to the 5. No, E to the T, so, right, minus, yeah, there's a minus here. There's a singularity, and here you have a nonlinear sigma model on the quintic XF. This is F equal to 0 inside CP4. And this is so-called the Landau-Ginzburg overfold. The superpotential is just F of X mod Z5, where X goes X1 plus X5 goes to omega X1 omega X5, where omega is the fifth root of unity. And then this is a singular point. And then for this case, so this A of Q sigma is zeta effective, imaginary part of sigma plus 5 pi minus sine real part of sigma theta plus 2 pi q, and the absolute value of the real part of sigma. Well, this is just finite shift. So where is it positive? Where does it go to infinity, and where does it go to negative infinity? So it depends very much on the sign of the zeta effective. When this is zeta effective, it's positive, then this shaded region is admissible, namely it grows to infinity. So in this case, you can choose the contour, and the poles are, so this is sigma plane, poles are like close to 0, an integer, and a 5 times integer. This is integer, and 1 over 5 times integer. So there are poles like this. The original real locus is like this, but the deformation should avoid this and also ends in this direction. So the right choice would be like this. For the other sign, it's the opposite situation, where the admissible region is this region. So you should choose contour like this. Okay. But something interesting happens when this zeta effective vanishes. In this case, when theta plus 2 pi q is, say, 5 pi, bigger than or equal to 5 pi, then the admissible region are only the left part, and theta plus 2 pi q is less than or equal to minus 5 pi, only the right part is admissible. And when this is not too big, bounded by 5 pi and minus 5 pi, then the admissible regions are very large. And in this case, you cannot actually deform the real contour to this side without hitting these poles. So not possible. And similarly for this case, not possible. But in this case, you can choose so wherever you want to wherever. So this is possible. Okay. So this is the result, and you may find it very strange. Here, this is for any q. This is for any q. And this is for any q. But for this case, for this FI parameter is special, takes this special value. Suddenly, only this Q is allowed. So you may find it very strange. What happens, for example, if you start from zeta positive to zeta negative, then admissible region actually rotates in this, for example, in this case. For example, in this case, it rotates, sorry. In here it is, if you take it this, in this way, you get this, but it rotates like this, and eventually you get this. So you can't, even if you can start from this right, from this choice, if you change the FI parameter, then it's unavoidable to hit this pole. So you may ask what happens to this. Actually, the truth is that when zeta is positive, there's a huge relationship between brains, among linear sigma model brains. Given low energy brain, non-linear sigma model brain, there are infinitely many choices for the choice of the linear sigma model brains. And in fact, actually, you can choose one representative tip such that all the Champeyton charges are in this region. And then if you change the representative so that this is charges are in this region, then you can safely go from R positive, zeta positive to zeta negative. And this is how to transfer a brain across this zeta effective equal to zero line. And actually, there is a more interesting story when you have a non-Abelian gauge group. So this is, yeah. So in this quintic story, it is such that the gauge group U1 is broken to finite group or identity here, and here it is to Zg to Z5. But in non-Abelian gauge, there is something special, something interesting happens. So G may be broken to identity in some phase, but broken to some continuous subgroup. There's some continuous subgroup unbroken. Then this choice of right contour is actually, in such a case, the choice of right contour is very non-trivial. And you may also consider some restriction like this, even inside this, deep inside this geometric phase. And yeah, maybe I should stop here.